Welcome to the Red Seat Podcast. This is your host, Jake Devereaux, and today joining me for episode 95 is the whole crew. We have Brian Joyner back from a long hiatus and Matt Collins back. Brian is well rested. Brian, how's the rotator cuff?
You know, I did a lot of pitching, stickball pitching, and don't laugh. But I actually think that I actually believe my rotator cuff is messed up. So in relative to normal, I think it's feeling okay right now. I have no particular problems right now. But long term, you know, if you want me to get some innings in, I'm probably going to see a doctor. But other than that, I'm fine.
Matt, how are you?
Well, my rotator cuff's all right, so I got that going for me.
Doesn't Devers, on his Nesson bio, I'm pretty sure he references the Dominican name for stickball as, like, his favorite sport other than baseball, which is funny because it's pretty much baseball.
That's like me saying wiffle ball is my favorite
sport. Yeah, well, there's a lot less running, so I can understand why he doesn't like it as much.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so since the last time we recorded this, Matt and I, we recorded it at Win 104, which is just how I'm marking, you know, actual world events. I'm like, oh, this happened at Win 104. This happened at Win 107. We are now at the wins record, 107, with three games to go in the regular season. Interestingly enough, they surpassed the 1912 team, and I think that it's worth talking a little bit about that 1912 team here because – the Globe did a really interesting piece that I think everybody should check out if they get a chance to, that talked about how the Globe covered the 1912 team. And it was kind of interesting because with this year's team, we expect that Mookie Betts is going to win the MVP. On that 1912 team, they had Tris Speaker, who won the MVP of the league that year. He batted .383 with 10 home runs, 90 RBIs. And they had a pretty good pitcher on that team, too, just like the Sox have Chris Sale. They had Smokey Joe Wood, who went 34-5, and I think he had 30-something complete games that year, too, which is pretty remarkable. But the thing that really stood out to me about the article was that they had a manager at the time named Jake Stahl, who was the manager of the team, and they focused a lot on this guy because he was such a player's manager, and he was a little unique for the time. There were a lot of quotes about him focusing on, you know, physical fitness and player well-being and all these things that you don't think about as being sort of that time period. You know, you think about 1912 and you're like cigars and hot dogs and stuff like that. So I thought it was kind of interesting.
What does Shaughnessy have to say about that team?
Guys, just in case you didn't know, Jake is a history teacher. He teaches history.
This is true.
So what I'm saying here is that he likes history. So, yeah, that is cool. I would say I'm going to look it up, but I'm not. But I'm happy to hear it.
Definitely not going to.
Oh, my God.
I've said before, anything before 1998 doesn't count.
Wow. All right. So half of Griffey's good seasons. All right. Got it, Matt. Thanks.
That's when I started watching it. I don't care about anything before that.
All right, well, Brian was about – Brian had probably had a family of three by then, so.
I think that was his 40th birthday.
Actually, my junior year of college, so you can – I mean, that's literally what it was. Good year for baseball. I don't know if you guys heard. 1998 was pretty fun.
There's a reason that was my first year.
Yeah, there you go. You owe it all to steroids, Matt. So.
I do.
We got to lead off the show today with Chris Sale. Because Chris Sale didn't quite make it through the five innings that we expected him to make it through versus the Orioles. He wasn't quite as dominant as we all expected him to be. The big story of the night is Sale's velocity. Sale's average fastball velocity was 90.1 on the night. His high was 94.5. It was lower than all of the other starts that he's made so far in September, albeit it's worth noting that those are a lot shorter starts than the one that he made yesterday, I guess it was. And so what I want to know from you guys is how worried are you about this? Because that was his last start before the ALDS. Do you think he's going to be ready to roll in the playoffs?
I'm more worried about the command than the velocity, to be honest. just because, I mean, he did get his velocity up there. I'm pretty sure that average velocity is skewed. I think they misclassified some changeups in there as fastballs, because he had some fastballs that were like 86, 87 that I saw that didn't make any sense. And also, I mean, he plays around with his velocity so much, I never know what's real and what's not. So, if I mean, I don't know that he can get up to like 97 consistently, but if he can get to 95, that's good enough. But he's not commanding the ball like he usually does. He's not getting the edges of the zone. He's losing control way more often than I've ever seen him do. So if he can't get that under control, I'm a lot more worried about that than his velocity.
Brian, what'd you think?
Well, to be perfectly honest, Jake, I didn't see it. Because I had to recap the early game and my wife was out of town. I have children. But my general opinion is that I understand how, if you are inclined to worry, this is something you might worry about. A, it's not going to do any good. B, the only thing I can say, because it doesn't look great, as Matt said, it looks a lot more like what Sale looked like at the end of last year than we'd like it to. But they're at least, the plan is at least, and has been for 6 weeks, to have him ready for next week. And you're entitled to have a bad start within that range. The traits that are more consistent through his rehab starts and his, you know, starter, his opener starts, are the ones I'd worried about more than specifically the last time out. But it's really just going to be about how he feels the day he wakes up in game one of the playoffs. And because of that, we're going to retroactively judge everything that happened now, when, well, it's fair to judge what we're doing now. It's going to be about one or two games max that we judge him on this in the playoffs. And while that makes sense for the playoffs from a sample size perspective, it's just, it's not much you can do that they're not doing to plan for it ahead of time.
Yeah, it seems like what they're going to be doing before the ALDS start is spending a lot of time in the video room. And Sale is going to be spending a lot of time working with Dana Lavangie, because both Cora and Dana, and Sale actually, all kind of mentioned that they didn't think that his delivery was quite what it was. And Sale himself said that he didn't feel like he was utilizing his legs as much. So it could just be that he's having trouble finding his release point, and he's having trouble repeating the mechanics that he had pre-injury. I mean, that's a long time to take off. I know, you know, I have a younger brother who pitches in college, and if he doesn't throw for like 3 weeks at a time, he loses his release point. And obviously that's not the same comparison, but I think that it's fairly easy to do if you're not throwing consistently. And for a while he was completely shut down. So I think that there is still an outside shot that they could get this thing figured out. He's going to throw another bullpen before he pitches in the ALDS. So there's potential.
Well, I think I guess my point is, and I'm sorry to cut you off. Sorry. I guess my point is, it's just like I think basically what's done is done. It's not like, will they figure it out in the bullpen or not? And this is sort of just like a fatalistic way to look at it, but worrying, I understand if you want to worry about it, worry about it, but he's still Chris Sale. And they've still been planning for this for 6 weeks. Every season is sort of, you know, you adjust on the fly. And, you know, maybe they haven't been perfect, but they've been pretty good. And the results have been better than every team they've had. So it's not like they've been careless. I think that's the best.
Right. I would agree with that. I think that this has been very purposeful from the beginning. Matt, I wanted to ask you, since you did get to watch the game, I was listening to the game, so I didn't get to see it, but It seemed like Chris Sale was more wild in the beginning when he was kind of hitting guys with his slider. It seemed like guys were getting hit in the foot and stuff like that. Did you notice that he settled down and his command improved as the game went on?
Yeah, it still wasn't like what you expect to see from him, but it was definitely better after like the first inning or two as the start went on. And then the last inning, he kind of he wasn't really – he was his command was bad, but it was in the zone, so he's kind of getting hit around a little bit. So, I mean, there's definitely work to do there, but he did get better as the night went on. It's worth noting, Alex Speer wrote something about those mechanical issues, and he said that Sale had kind of a similar issue with his lower body in June. He had a pretty rough start then. Then they gave him some extra rest, and they figured it out. And that's when he started that, like, bananas 10-game stretch before he got injured. So that doesn't mean that there's nothing physical wrong with him or anything like that, but it's at least some hope for him figuring this out.
All right. Well, that's good to know. So before we move on to the fun stuff here, 1 to 10, how worried are you? 10 being Sale is going to blow up in the playoffs, and one being we have All-Star break Sale. Matt, what do you think?
5.
Brian?
You know, just I would say 6. I would just say that I'm pretty calm about my 6.
Okay. Price is writing me?
Real chill 6. I'll go
it's
with
a band
name. I mean, the thing is, when Sale isn't right, it's not a mystery. You know,
right?
That's, and it's clearly he's not. But as I think that the most important game recently for Sale was the one game he came back before he went back on the DL.
That game was crazy.
Right, where he could, like, if he was on pace to set, and I know you can be on pace to do it, and it's another thing to do it, but he was on pace to set and would have set the single game strikeout record.
Yeah, it 12 strikeouts in 5 innings with 68 pitches.
So awesome. I understand that he was playing the Orioles, I believe, but yeah. At the same time, I believe that as much as we worry about bad Sale showing up or quote unquote bad Sale, is just as likely in any single game that that guy shows up and it doesn't matter who he's playing.
Yeah, that's why I'm at a 3. On my worry scale, I think that I trust Sale when he and the team say he's physically good, and I do think it's just a matter of getting the mechanics right. So I think he's got enough time to do that, and I guess it's just why the hell not be optimistic about that in all the seasons? You know, this season especially is the one that I'm going to be optimistic about.
I'm definitely going to be at a 10 by the time the game's about to start. I'm going to be pooping my pants.
Yeah, well, that's fair for every playoff start, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, exactly. But see, Jake, my problem is just with the idea of being optimistic, and it's not because I think people are thinking those terms, but the flip side of this, and I think you are on the correct side of this, but the flip side of the whole idea is that if you win this many games, the fear of losing in the playoffs is heightened because then there's this conflict between are you like you obviously cannot be happy about the season as a whole. Like if they got swept, you would not be happy about the season they got swept in the ALDS, despite the fact, and even I who am very pro this season, like that would be hard to swallow, you know.
Sure.
That'd be very difficult to take. So I think that part of the reason people are worried about the first round particularly is that is on the line. Sort of like if they lost an incredibly tight ALCS to the Astros, my guess is that we'd understand, you know?
Yeah, I would, in fact, I would, I mean, I guess I agree. I would be disappointed if they lost to the A's or the Yankees. I would be disappointed, but totally unsurprised if they lost to Cleveland or the Astros, because I think those teams are just a tick above where the Yankees and the A's are.
I wouldn't really be shocked if they lost to anybody or beat anybody.
Well, all those teams we just named are probably the four best teams in the playoffs. Other than
Matt, I'd be surprised if they lost the A's in the ALDS because that's hard to do.
I don't know. They're pretty good.
It's a good bullpen.
That's just a joke about the A's always going up to nothing and losing.
It is true. They suck in the playoffs. Let's move on here because we're going a little long. The doubleheader, the game that you covered, Brian, was ridiculously fun. So I'm a little jealous. There were three things that happened, I think, that are particularly worth pointing out. Mookie stole a base to secure his the second ever 30-30 season for a Red Sox hitter. Huge milestone for him. Xander Bogaerts passed the 100 RBI mark to become the first shortstop to do so in a Red Sox uniform since Nomar in 03. And then Rafi Devers is getting hot and hit his 20th and 21st home run. And he's one of the youngest in Red Sox history ever to surpass 20 home runs. And a note about that is he only needed 118 games this year to get that done. So that's pretty impressive. I wanted to know from you two guys, which of these is the most impressive to you? And which of these is the most surprising, like taking on aggregate over the whole season? Brian, I'll start with you. Which of these is the most impressive to you?
I think 30-30 is the most impressive. I mean, it was, I don't know, it's easy to look at in retrospect, but Mookie has been the MVP in the clubhouse for about 6 weeks now or 2 months, and it's done now. You know, he's going to win it. That yesterday was great because he got a single in the first inning and was just, he actually got picked off, but they didn't get him out. And then got an amazing jump on a ball Benny fouled off, and then he walked the second time. He got it the second time. I think the other things are all great and interesting, but 30-30 is, I think the one thing that I was ruined on were like 30-30 seasons when I was younger, because that was the 40-40. Like, I remember very vividly. And Seiko going 40-40, like, oh, you go 30-30, who cares? But especially in today's game, that's really impressive. And, you know, Mookie's so good, that's just another thing he did. That's it.
Yeah. What about you, Matt?
It's obviously 30-30. I don't think there's any debate. I didn't know that was only the second time that happened. Nobody ever did that before Ellsbury?
No, Ellsbury was the first. The Red Sox don't have a huge history of guys that have both power and speed. Because when you think about the big-time Red Sox
I'm just shocked
players,
that Nomar didn't do it his first year because he hit 30 home runs and he batted leadoff.
Yeah, he was always like a 20-20 guy for his first few seasons. So, but they have a lot of slow-footed superstars. When you look at the best players in Red Sox history, it is kind of interesting. Mookie really does break the mold.
They've been the slowest team for 90 years until the last five. You know, I mean, honestly, I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating at all.
Yeah, no, they traditionally do not steal bags. So it's pretty cool that this team has so much athleticism and speed. I think I agree with both of you that 30-30 mark's the most impressive thing, but I think what surprised me was Devers just needing 118 games to get over 20 home runs. And so I mentioned I was listening to this game on the radio, and the audible sound that the bat made when he hit that ball 447 was so different than other hits. Like, I wish I had just recorded that, because we talk about how it sounds different all the time, but that one really did sound different. I was like, whoa, okay, that ball's going to go a mile. And then when the Statcast came back, I was like, yep, that sounds about right.
Jay, can I asterisk you in real time?
Sure.
Audible sound is redundant.
I thought you were going to call him out on the cliche.
Jake, the only reason – it's not that I disagree that it's impressive. It's very impressive. The only reason I disagree about the – sort of like depth of its impressiveness is that the ball just flies out now. So merely home run numbers, that's not all Devers has. So I'm not saying he does, but merely home run numbers don't necessarily do it in shorter periods of time.
We should also mention that that 447 is the longest at Fenway this year, and that he did have six ribbies to go along with it. So it's nice to see him getting hot.
Yeah, the 447 is pretty impressive.
So another note, Mookie, Xander, and Andrew Benintendi. Well, you can tell we have a little bit of a theme going on today because we only have three games left in the year. But all three of those guys are at 40-plus doubles right now. And JD is at 37, so he just needs three more to get there. Mookie's three doubles away from 50, and I think I saw someone tweeting online that if Mookie gets to 50...
Supposed to tweeting offline?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Dad, it was in my head, but I said I was just a dick. I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah, I'll take over for you.
You guys want to host? All right. Mookie needs just three doubles to get to 50, and if he gets there, he's only the second player ever to go 30, 30... 50 doubles. That would be pretty cool.
He's very good.
Was Bonds the first?
I have no clue. I have no clue who the other one is. There's only one other dude, so I don't know. I don't have the play tool or whatever.
I'm going to separate him to Bonds in the field.
So
what is it?
50 doubles, 30 home runs, and 30 stolen bases. And right. I don't know if
sorry, Bonds and A-Rod in the field. That's what I'm going to say.
But anyhow, while Matt's looking this up, Mookie's currently sitting at 10.1 F4, Fangraphs War, and since 1901...
No way.
What's that?
You guys would never guess
who
it was. Alfonso Soriano.
Well, no, I would have guessed because I would have just guessed the 40-40 guys. And he's
he,
one of
he
them.
Wasn't 40-40. He had 39 home runs.
Didn't he have a rainout game?
I don't know.
What year was
okay,
that?
Okay, well, I consider him in my head one of them. So.
Wow. That would be pretty cool.
I never
would have
guessed that.
No, I wouldn't have either.
That probably would have been my next guess. I'm old, so that's like my wheelhouse. Go
I
ahead.
Don't believe you.
That's not even that old. I remember everything that Alfonso Soriano did. Come on, you gotta bring some real old.
Yeah, you also
here.
Remember watching Saturday morning cartoons. That's gone from me now.
That is true. So Mookie, 10.1 WAR. There was an article written on Fangraphs today, which I think was really cool. I urge everybody to read that. Since 1901, there have only been 50 10-plus WAR seasons. So this is very rare, and I think it's also cool to look at the group that's done it more than once. So I didn't even include their first names because you don't need them to know who these guys are. Ruth, Williams, Wagner, Bonds, Mays, Cobb, Mantle, Gehrig, Trout, and Hornsby are the guys who have done it more than once. And Mookie has done it in his age 25 season, and he's only one of 11 to do it at this age or younger. So my question to you guys is, as good as this season's been for Mookie, do you think he can ever have another one of these 10 WAR seasons and break into that crazy elite group that we just talked about? Because all those guys are like gods.
Well, you can't have two until you have one. And it's good to have one when you're 25.
Right. That puts him in elite company. So that opens up the question. I mean, like, is it possible for him?
Yeah, he's definitely good enough. I wouldn't bet on it, though. It's just really hard to. I wouldn't bet on anybody.
Yes,
not
the answer is yes. Yeah, him and Trout. Those are the two people.
Percentage.
I mean, Trout
he
more.
Gets it done.
Brian, 33.
Brian, what about you?
So do I get everything above 33 if I go 33.1, or
fuck?
Everything below if I go $1?
I don't care.
All right, then I'll do both. So unless it's exactly 33.
$1. Where did $1 come from? I don't like
the price is right.
I know.
What?
I'm just sick of being screwed over in these games. I gotta stop.
Yeah. What do I think? Do I think there's a chance? No. I mean, I think Matt's about right, and I think it's about as good as you're gonna get for anyone. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's a crazy.
Do we still think Trout is better than Mookie?
Yes.
Yeah. Of course.
But on any given day, it's like 40% of the time Mookie might be better than Trout. All
right, since you're going to hedge over here and nobody's going to give him a real shot, I'm going to go over 50% that he does this. I'm going to say it is more likely than not that in his 26, 27, 28, 29, 30 years, he does this again.
You have to consider the possibility that we're all dead by then.
I really appreciate that fatalisticness. However, I would say to Jake, I understand where you're coming from. However, you realize that mathematically, is probably not that likely. I understand you're saying you disagree with the math, but just in terms of sheer regression, because even if you regress to 9.8 WAR, that wouldn't be 10, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, I am a social studies teacher, not a math teacher, so I don't give no shits about math. So.
Hey, I have a degree in mathematics, so we will respect math on this podcast.
Yeah, I don't care for it. I'm a narrative guy.
How did the guy who's a narrative guy win this giant dynasty league? This is insane. I hate you. Go ahead.
I'm multi-skilled, Brian. They call it a polymath.
You just said you hate math.
I do hate it. Doesn't mean I don't do it. All right, so next note over here. JD, Mookie, Xander, and Andrew Benintendi will end the season with the best years of their careers so far. I thought that was pretty interesting in its own right. Those guys are kind of obvious, though. But I wanted to mention three other guys who are also doing things that are fairly interesting for them. Sale, Brock Holt, and Price. Holt is going to finish this season with his highest weighted runs created plus of his career. He's having a really good offensive season. For his level, and I didn't think he'd get back to this, frankly. Sale has the best ratios of his career, and advanced metrics say he's better than he was last year in the time that he's pitched. And
Price, is he going to win it or not?
No, he's no chance.
No, no chance.
And Price no has dropped his.
He was the wait. He was the favorite on gambling sites.
Brian, for your 3 week hiatus,
when
a lot has occurred,
like last week,
really.
Yes.
It's going to be
McCaffrey tweeted this. Jen McCaffrey tweeted this, I believe.
I'm not on Twitter 24/7, man. I don't see every tweet.
It's not Sniller Verlander.
You're not. That's a lie. You're not. You sleep. I know it.
Barely. But I do sleep sometimes. I got to see if I can bet some money on the Cyan.
Is it Snell? Is that
I can't. I would say we talked about this last week. I would give it to Snell. I don't think I think it's probably going to go to Verlander though.
Should go to Verlander. Verlander pitched more innings.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Sorry to miss your party last week.
I'm glad he said something. I'm fascinated that he was the favorite. He is second to Snell right now, according to Oddshark.
I don't believe that was the case a week ago.
That's crazy. I still don't think he's going to win, but that is eye-opening.
Yeah, even with the narrative on his side, I don't see a way that that's possible. He doesn't even qualify.
The reason I remembered it is that it was sort of shocking.
He's, like, significantly favored over Verlander.
Well,
I don't know.
It sounds like we just turned into a gambling podcast here, so everybody go out and bet this.
It's legal now, so go ahead.
All right, David Price. What's interesting about Price is that he dropped his first half home runs per nine from 1.5 to 0.93. We know about all the change, but I don't think that's been mentioned enough, that he just doesn't give up long balls anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's been his whole thing is he is not hit the – he, like, barely hits the middle of his zone now. That's – he's using his secondaries and he's only on the corners. So
are we just not talking about the second inning of yesterday's game? Just except for that?
I didn't see the game, so it didn't exist. Mm.
Explain, Brian. Tell us what you saw.
He gave up two home runs and like four batters.
Two taters? Were they cheapies or big ones?
Well, the Trey Mancini one was like he just left one over to Trey Mancini. And that was just
you don't do that.
I mean, that's why Trey Mancini has a job. If you leave it over, he's going to kill it. And then the other one, I don't remember who it was to, but it was out to right field. It seemed more fluky than the Mancini one was just bad pitch to a guy who hits it, and the other one just happened. But they had been talking, even in the game, about how few homers he had given up. It didn't look like he might not get out of that second inning, and then he did, and he made it five. But it was precarious. Bobby Pointer, I don't know if you've heard about this guy. He was one.
Tell me about him.
What is going on over there? Are you sanding a doll? What is happening?
Where did a doll come from? That's Matt, first of all. Where did, what do you mean, sanding a doll?
I pictured you as like Geppetto, the puppet guy from what's that?
We know who Geppetto is.
Pinocchio. I pictured you making a doll for some reason.
That's interesting. I don't know what that was. If that was me, I'm sorry. I don't know what it was.
Brian, are you in the workshop right now?
I'm on the third floor. I'm doing a podcast. I'm recording a podcast right now. I don't know if you know.
Good work. Good work by us. So, Brian, we haven't had you on in a while, which means you've missed all of the roster spot discussion that Matt and I have been having over the last few
Oh, boy,
weeks.
I sure have.
So, Brian, tell me who your last few guys in would be, because there's a lot of guys who are fairly obvious at this point. But is Pointer in? Talk about your boy Pointer. Has he done enough to make it into this this bullpen here?
Well, the usage does not suggest that they – necessarily going to take. I think that it's less about what he's proven than what we can sort of infer from what's happened.
But Matt says Gore has already made his choices, so usage might not matter that much.
Right, but if he's already made his choices and Pointer was in there, then I'm not feeling great about Pointer's chances. Even though I obviously like him quite a bit.
Would you put him in there?
I mean, yes.
Brian would make him the closer.
He would be on the team. He would. I mean, he would. Look.
Shortstop. Where would you play him?
I think if they had a 40-man roster the whole season, he would have. Which they don't, obviously. But I think it was contractual issues with other people and contractual liberties they could take with him that made sure he wasn't on the team this year. I feel like he was skill-wise pretty clearly among the best pitchers, but I understand how it works too. But he's not what we're talking about here. Because whether he makes it or not is ultimately a footnote, I think.
But do you think he's going to be on?
I'll say yes. But I want to make an announcement, Jake.
Yes.
Because it ties into all this discussion. And possibly into the postseason roster discussion. As you know, I've had opinions on Blake Swihart.
Oh my God!
Oh no!
Hold on, wait! I've argued with you and with Matthew Corey of TheAthletic.com, subscribe today, and with Christopher Smith of MassLive.com on Twitter, multiple times.
All stand-up guys, by the way.
Yeah, are they? My beef with what you just called yourself a stand-up guy. Chris Smith, my beef with what he said was he said 6 weeks ago or a month, Blake Swihart should be the starting catcher right now. And I thought that was overstated.
However, Jake,
I am willing to say that I believe that that is true for the playoffs. And I think that if the Red Sox think that, Christian Vasquez might not be a lock. But I don't know if that's realistic, but that certainly follows logically.
I think that they're all three going to be carried.
I do too. I don't like it, but I think it's going to happen.
Well, what about not doing it for the first round? Because you can add players, right?
Yeah, you can change it every round.
You don't need three catchers for the first round, and Swihart gives you options.
You don't need three catchers in any round.
No.
Not unless you're planning on playing one of them in a different position.
Yeah, but I don't know why they... Like, Swihart's versatility is nice, but he shouldn't be starting anywhere but catcher.
No, he's not that's great true. In right field.
No, he's bad in right field.
Yeah, that's fair to say. But he did hit a ding-dong.
I don't
like that. I was shocked that when you were talking about yesterday's game, that that was not one of the things you mentioned in the rundown.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to stay away from Swihart because I don't want to make this about me, Brian.
Says the guy who just called himself a stand-up guy like, 2 minutes ago.
No, it wasn't. The playoffs, if like it's sort of, I wrote about this also. If there's two ways of measuring the season, one of which is to include the playoffs, and the other which is to like not include the regular season, basically. In the case that you are looking at sort of holistically, I understand a team having a plan to survive the grind of the season and not deviating from that until the playoffs. And while I also understand that you can always get better, I feel like that was much less of an issue with a team that is so clearly has so clearly going to be the best in the AL for like months that I was not worried about it then. However, now, Blake Swihart looks really good.
He does.
So I understand needing to do it with some urgency, whereas I did not understand that.
I'm gonna pose a question to you, Brian, and Matt, too. Thinking towards the future, if you could only take two of these guys next year to be on the roster, let's just say you could. I know you can take all three if you want. But if you could only take two, which two are you taking for next year's team to play throughout an entire season?
I go Swihart Vasquez.
Wait, did you just say catchers? Vasquez? Like, over
wait,
Leon?
I did.
Okay, we're going to need to unpack that a little bit in just a second here. But I want to get Brian's reply before we start unpacking Vasquez.
So my thing is that having heard Matt's answer and thought about it, if Swihart is one of them, I don't think it matters who the other one is between those two guys. Maybe it matters if it's not those two guys, but I don't think those two guys are appreciably different.
You don't think they're different with the pitching staff?
I think they're different with the pitching staff, but that also doesn't mean that I think they're in aggregate the same. Like Leon might be better with the staff and Vasquez might be better at like playing catcher.
Oh, I don't even think that's remotely close. This is why I'm going to disagree with you 100% on this, Matt. Over 100, let's say that one of those
guys. I'm not
guys,
Matt, but okay.
No, I know. I'm disagreeing with Matt right now. I also disagree with you probably. But
good
I'm
decision.
Over, let's just say that one of these guys gets, I don't know, 100 to 120 games started. The difference between Leon over 100 or 120 games with the pitching staff versus whatever slight, and I don't even know if this is even true, if Vasquez is even a tiny bit better at either the catcher position or with the bat, I don't even think that's comparable. I think there's like Lake Michigan worth of difference between the two in terms of how they
handle
the pitching staff.
Like, I understand Leon. That's Leon's strength. I don't understand. Like, we've gone way too far on the other side with Vasquez. His entire life, his reputation has been that he's great dealing with pitchers and he's great with everything defensively. And now, for like a half a season, he's not as good as Leon, and everybody's acting as if he's garbage. Like, I think it's close. I don't think either of these guys are all that great, and I don't think you can really – I don't think if you go one way or the other, it's going to be a drastic difference. But I think Vasquez has more upside. They signed him to an extension before this year, and I think just dumping him off after this year would probably be a bad way to run a business. And I love Leon. His offense is just brutal. Like, Vasquez's isn't great, but I feel a lot better when Vasquez at the plate than Leon. Like, you basically have to pinch hit for Leon in the sixth or seventh inning every single time he plays.
Vasquez is brutal too, though.
I feel a lot better about Vasquez than Leon.
But what evidence do you have to back that up? Statistically, it's not great.
Last year.
But Leon was better last year too.
He was, but I mean, Vasquez always seemed like a more sustainable offensive player to me than Leon did.
How much of the game do you think is mental in baseball?
I don't know.
Let's just throw a number out there. Do you think
that that's a stupid thing to do.
Do you think there's a high percentage of baseball that's mental?
Sure. I don't know where you're going with this. I mean, Vasquez has always had a reputation of being a very smart baseball player.
But the pitchers for the Red Sox have said ad nauseum this year and have shown through numbers that they prefer pitching to Leon. So why would
you take Jake, what I said was that I think that Vasquez is a more physically skilled catcher.
No, I got you. I got you that you think he's more physically skilled. But if you have...
I also think that it's not, like, really arguable. I feel like that's Vasquez's thing. Leon's thing is that he's a pitcher's catcher. He's not bad physically, defensively. But I thought that's been the paradigm the entire time. I don't think it's changed at all.
But aside from Eovaldi, you're going to have this entire staff coming back next year. Why wouldn't you go with the guy who the pitchers are most comfortable with?
Because you just gave Vasquez an extension and you're not going to be able to trade him?
What do you mean you're not going to be able to trade Vasquez? His deal is not expensive. You could
trade him for nothing.
Right.
Nobody wants Christian Vasquez, that's why.
Just dump him then. I mean, it's not like
he's. Well, why? But nobody wants Sandy Leone either.
Like I said, the difference isn't that big. This really isn't something worth arguing about.
I disagree. I think that your pitching staff being comfortable is worth dumping.
Well, they haven't played Leone very much lately. I mean, they clearly want to go in a different direction now.
Don't you think they're just resting him for the playoffs because he's caught more than he's ever caught?
They've made a point of saying that they want the big pitchers to pitch to other guys to see if they can get used to that. So
at the same time, I don't get the sense that Porcello or Sale is going to pitch anymore but Leon.
I think Leon's
especially gonna, in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up playing, but I think they would have liked to see somebody other than Leon step up.
And to your point, and not Jake's, overwrought, incomprehensible point. I feel like Leon needs to be around this year because they have this situation where Porcello and Sale thrown to him all year, and then maybe going into next year you have him throw to somebody else. And then that person becomes the new person.
Yeah, I wouldn't have Vasquez on my playoff roster, and I would have Leon on my playoff roster.
The whole point where we started, where I said if you were going to cut anyone from this year's roster of the catchers, it would be Vasquez.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I would cut him off, too. I don't think they will, but I would.
Well, I'm looking forward to another catcher argument that I'm right about and you guys are wrong about, so... That'll be good for the future.
I'm never doing this podcast again. That was the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
All right, Matt. So let's move on from this because it's just making us all angry. I want to give some props to Steve Horgan, the cop from the fame of the 2013 playoff run, the guy who was in the bullpen for the Torii Hunter flipping over. Did any of you guys ever meet that guy at a game or anything?
I haven't been to Fenway in like...
No, I have not met that guy.
So my brother and I ran into him on Yawkey Way when it was still Yawkey Way. And nicest guy, took a picture with us. And I think it's really funny that when he holds his hands up, he makes sure that he closes his left hand, just like it was in the picture, and he claims that he was holding a bunch of seeds and didn't want to drop them. So that's why he has that pose. But he's,
he knows how to build a brand.
Hey, Jake. Hey, yeah. Jake. You have to tell me if this is true, okay, Ronnie? Are you a cop?
Am I a cop?
Are you a cop?
No.
Just tell me right now. You have to tell me. It's the law. I like that you and your brother ran into him on Yagi Wu.
Yeah.
You're all a bunch of cops.
He's great. All right, so let's move on to listener questions. Trevor Shackles has our first question. This one's right in the Joiner wheelhouse. He says, please tell me Bobby Pointer is going to make the postseason roster.
All right, Jeff, let me turn it around. Do you think he's going to make it?
No.
Do you think Hembry is going to make it?
No.
Interesting.
There's a lot of possibilities they can go with that last spot. I don't really know what they're going to do.
Not Brandon Phillips.
No, I'm talking about the bullpen spots. I kind of think Velasquez might get it. I don't know why. It's just a weird feeling I have.
He's been good.
I also, like, in a playoff series, garbage time innings can actually take on huge importance if you're out of a game or way ahead in a game really early. So it could hurt to have a guy who could be effective in one, but also could pitch four.
Yeah, I mean, they do already have that with Rodriguez and Wright, but...
That's true. Right.
I would probably rather have Pointer.
Right. Yesterday was a spicy meatball. He was great yesterday.
I
didn't know what a spicy meatball was, to be honest. I didn't know.
Eck was going on about his knuckle pieces and whatnot.
Wait, Eck called the afternoon game?
Yes, he did.
What the fuck? He didn't call the night game.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Look with Steve Lyons.
The afternoon game did have a respectable lineup, at least.
Yeah, that lineup last night was something else.
It was awful.
Man, I haven't loved Dave O'Brien, but Eck brings them up to a very nice level.
Are you guys in on Joe Kelly for the
Eck is just something else.
No,
out on Joe Kelly?
Well, yeah, he's one of the guys like for that last spot, for sure.
I think he's going to get the last spot.
I think he's going to get it. I would rather have – I mean, honestly, I'd probably rather have Bobby Pointer than Joe Kelly.
I would, too.
I understand think they're gonna carry Joe Kelly getting it.
I don't either.
Well, but Joe Kelly is just effectively carrying a lefty. I mean, to some degree, because at this point, I know he throws hard, but you're like, isn't his thing the reverse split? And then the rest of it, you're going with your good relievers.
But Kelly's been better in the second half.
Yeah, he's been so hot and cold.
And
pretty rough lately.
He's got good postseason success, though, in the limited sample size that he's pitched.
Yeah, I don't really care about the. I mean, I know I probably should care more than I do, but I don't.
No, I agree with you. Don't care about it, stupid.
All right, well, moving on then. Scott Barlow says, why doesn't glue stick to the side of the bottle? I assume this is for Brian for some reason. I don't know what that means.
You huffing glue over there?
Brian, do you know
what I've never thought about that. I had never thought about that. Let me answer his question with a question. Why, if a tire is spinning and you draw an arrow which direction it's spinning, half the time it's spinning backwards, why does the tire go forward? Think about that.
All right.
I don't know what just happened.
Jody White has our next question. They say, how great has this season been? And we have Bill P who answered it, and he says, Mookie Betts, good.
Did you say Bill Pedo?
Bill P. Bill P. Pedo. Wow. Oh, man. Killing Bill over here for no reason.
Bill P.
No, Elon Musk on the podcast with us right now.
I have nothing wrong with Bill Pedo. I talked to him once on New England Cable News.
Who's Bill Pedo?
He was on ESPN, man.
All right. When was that? Give us a year.
He started on ESPN 2 in like 98, I think.
Okay. Well, Matt was in diapers back then, and I was, you know, still in elementary school, so.
I was not in diapers in 98.
But you can remember the 1998 baseball fine. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
You remember? I was 7, dude. Game. I can't really remember the 1998 baseball season. I just remember dingers.
I'm not going after you.
Okay.
It's Jake.
Proceed.
I'm legitimately older than Matt, I think, by a few years.
Yes, you are older than Matt.
I know that.
All right. Red Sox on brief. Unbrief. I haven't
So he's a French guy. He changed his handle a few times, but he's a French Red Sox fan.
Yeah. Right. What does this mean? It means Red Sox in short?
Yeah, but it really should be Red Sox in French. Sorry. He's the world's biggest Bobby Pointer fan. I assume this is about Pointer.
Red Sox en Francais says, any chance the aggressive bullpen for sale before game one will be a relief appearance on Sunday? Ooh, that's an interesting point. I don't think so.
No, I don't. No. I don't think they want the Yankees to see him, first of all.
He wants to throw a lot of pitches, too.
Matt, why do you say the Yankees?
Because they're playing the Yankees on Sunday?
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant you see what I'm saying. Yeah.
As a reporter said that to Price yesterday after his start.
This is in New York, right?
No, this is in Fenway.
Ah, that's too bad. Because if it was in New York, I would go. Anyhow. Sorry,
but he's
Matt.
He's probably going to throw a huge bullpen. So I don't think that would be enough pitches for him.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to want that in game action anyways.
Yeah. Joe McQueary has the next question, which I think might be the best of the night. And he asks us whether we prefer Sheets or Wawa. And I got to say, I am a big Wawa fan, and especially the coffee roll at Wawa at like 5 a.m. in the morning before I used to go to my job would be...
5 a.m. in the morning, that's another one, Jake. That's another redundant phrase.
Whatever. Get out of my wheelhouse right here. I'm talking Wawa. You don't even know about Wawa, and it's delicious.
I do know Wawa. It's in Pennsylvania. How do you know about it?
Because I used to live in D.C., in Maryland, in Virginia area, so Wawa's all over the place there, and I love it.
I've never been to either of these places.
I've been to Wawa. I haven't been to Sheetz.
Where is Sheetz?
Sheetz is in New York. Why haven't you been there?
Sheetz is not in New York.
You're telling
it's
me there's
New York.
No Sheetz
it's
in
Pennsylvania,
New York.
West Virginia, Maryland, Ohio, Virginia.
Yes, I'm North telling Carolina. You about the place I live.
I've been
you
to
tell
Sheetz.
Me about something else.
So I've been to both of these places. Wawa. Wawa for the win.
Cumbies.
Do you like
it's the only place.
Cumbies. There's a Scumbies on the Vineyard.
Matt, will you drink there, the coffee?
There's not a lot. Not a lot of not a lot of chain places on the Vineyard, but we got a Scumbies.
Is it good? Is it good coffee? I haven't had the coffee there.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, terrible. I'm like the last person to ask about coffee because I can't really tell the difference, but I think it's better than Dunkin'.
Come on, man.
Dunkin's opening at my train station. Big. Yo, if you listen Dunkin's to the podcast this long, come to Hartsdale. Let's get some coffee.
All right, next question from Jody White says, who should play third in the postseason? Devers is trying to make this a convo. Should it be Devers?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of feeling that way.
You say making a convo, but it wouldn't have been a convo for like the first 70% of the season. You wouldn't even have thought about it.
Well, even last week, Matt and I agreed that it would be Nunez.
2 weeks ago, but yeah.
Yes, and this is why I need to be on the show, because you guys are idiots.
Well, I am offended, but you're probably right.
All right, next question from Jake. He says, how would you guys sum up Devers' season, and where do you stand on his role going into next season and beyond? He's locked in. He's a part of this core. He's the third baseman for good.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, but yeah, that's the plan at least.
He's just
yeah. I mean, you can see you can see it with him. You could see him. What he does could be so beautiful in the playoffs. To paraphrase, to sort of channel Eck. Oh yeah, man! He hit those three-run dong pieces.
No, he got
beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. No, I mean he.
It was a poor depression.
I understand that.
But I, you know, wouldn't have given up the Kirk Gibson home run, so let's call it even.
I think he would have.
Anyhow, whatever, Jake. It's Chinatown. Forget it.
Good reference. Last one.
I just watched that movie yesterday. It's pretty quite good. I've seen it before.
Kurt Russell, right?
No. Nicholson.
Which one are we talking about? Oh, I'm thinking Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes.
Which is also hilarious.
That's a very good movie.
Yeah. J.C. Martin has our last one here, and he says, who is the playoff bench and why? Seriously, the bullpen, Wright's long... Oh, he's got a shitload of questions here. More afraid of New York Yankees than the rest, that short porch. What are your thoughts on the easiest and toughest opponents? I think we've talked about the first part of his question a lot, so we're just going to go here. Easiest and toughest opponents. Let's rank them. Let's rank them in terms of who's the hardest out in the AL and who's the easiest out in the AL, in your opinion. We'll start with Brian.
The easiest out is the A's.
Then? We're going to hardest.
Then there's a big gap. Not a big gap. Then there's a gap. Then it's the Yankees. And I'm not being mad. I know the Yankees stats are better, but like the Yankees and Indians, and I would say there's a gap. And then it's the Astros. And then they're Astros and Red Sox are about the same level.
Okay. Matt, where are you at?
I don't know. I don't think this is worth it. They're all close.
Did you just say that because I nailed it and you didn't want to go against me?
Yes, I was terrified of following that up.
Oh, my God.
I would go.
He admitted it.
I would go A's and Yankees as fairly equal with how they're playing right now. I would go Indians and then very close to them, Astros. That would be my rankings. I think there's a pretty big gap between Indians, Astros, and A's Yankees.
I just want the wild card game in Oakland.
The Yankees were very, very good this year. And like
they all are very good. That's the point.
Yeah, but the Yankees are just because of where they are. But at the same time, I have no confidence they're going to do anything this year in the playoffs. Last year was their show. They were right there. But I feel like this year, last year they got the breaks. This year they won't get
no breaks. Okay. That about does it for the podcast this week. If you enjoyed the show, go on, rate and review us. We've got three more rates and reviews since the last time. So thank you guys who did that.
You're all me.
Nice. You were kind to us, Matt. Also, you can follow us all on Twitter. You can follow the Over the Monster account for all your latest Red Sox news at Over the Monster. You can follow Brian for a bunch of Brian's nonsense at Brian Joyner, Brian with a Y, Joyner with an I. And you can follow Matt for basketball thoughts at Matt R.Y. Collins. And you can follow me at Dev Jake for really mundane tweets. So get after us.
Does Matt really have basketball thoughts, or are they just Celtics thoughts?
They're Celtics thoughts.
Just so. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.